Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
Wilson's 0-2. Swinging a high fly ball, crushed to right field. Ref Snyder turns around, back at the wall, and it is gone. A grand slam for Dalton Varsho into the bullpen, and the Blue Jays lead the Red Sox 4-0.
What a swing for the Blue Jays. Must feel like such a weight lifted for them. It's a shame in some ways that these runs are going to go to Bayo. The error that opened this inning, obviously, changed everything, but then he did walk one and hit one, and Wilson lately has had huge difficulty with inherited runners.
Not my favorite Red Sox game last night.
No, didn't care for that. Thought they could clinch. Thought it'd be a goggles and champagne night at the house, too. They're usually ready to go, obviously.
I mean, we're the flagship station. We're almost members of the team, Keith. We're going to celebrate the way they celebrate.
Yeah, and restock the ice.
Put up the plastic.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, what are you doing? You're going to kill me, are you? Like, what? No. Celebrating a playoff spot. Okay. Sounds like American Psycho in here.
And I'll play Huey Lewis.
Yeah. That inning goes Vladdy reaching on an error by Trevor Story, which we'll get to.
Yeah, the guy's falling apart.
Walk, hit by pitch, which might as well have been a walk.
Hit by pitch Bayo. On a 3-2 pitch, and he hits him right in the sneaker. And you're like, oh, that's not great. So, then they give him the hook.
So Bayo comes out of the game. This is after Bayo just missed giving up a grand slam earlier.
I was going to say,
to Santander.
Bases loaded earlier.
Then you hear Justin Wilson comes in, first battery faces on an 0-2 pitch.
Tries to throw it right down Main Street with no movement. And you're like, oh, my God. That was one the second. We were
off
talking about something like the Narvaez home runs recently.
Oh, no,
you're like,
bat.
Is that going to go out? Or no, that was like gone. No,
I literally said out loud off the bat, uh-oh.
Grand slam.
Then he gets a couple of outs. Zach Kelly comes in. He's always a lock. Winds up, I'm sorry, doesn't get a couple outs, one out, then a double. Kelly comes in, gets it out, and then Springer with a two-run shot. Game was over, though, after the grand slam. And so Red Sox now still have a magic number of one.
Yeah.
They did gain ground on the Cleveland Guardians last night because the Tigers beat Cleveland. So, right?
So, yeah.
Are you not counting that?
No.
How did they gain ground? They both lost.
I'm sorry. They didn't gain ground. I guess Cleveland. Yeah, you're right. They didn't gain ground.
No.
I'm sorry. Cleveland didn't pull away from them. I'm sorry. You're right. They didn't gain ground.
But basically, the magic number is one's the most important thing. If you want to look at it one step further, the Red Sox have a one-game lead on Detroit, who has a one-game lead on Houston, meaning these three teams are fighting for two spots. And yes, there's still an avenue where Detroit could win the division. But I'm saying put Cleveland to the side.
Well, my point is there are still other ways to get in, but the main one is Houston.
It's Houston.
But yeah, you're right. They didn't gain ground. Sorry.
No, they didn't
lose ground on Cleveland.
But Detroit. Now it's a must series where even a couple of weeks ago, you're like, they might not need this series for anything. They might not have to throw Scooble in the final game. They might even rest a guy here or there. And like,
now
they don't need the series. They need the series more than you do.
They do. Now it's Harrison, Early, and maybe you're facing Scooble against Giolito on Sunday. So, look, I still think they're getting in. I'm not freaking out.
I do, too.
But I don't love the pitching matchups on paper, if we're being honest. But fortunately, you don't even need to win the game. You need to get swept, and the Astros need to sweep the Angels, and that's the only way you're missing the playoffs. So I'm still confident they're getting in, but last night, not great. Last night, not fun. If you want to discuss, you can. 617-779-7937.
So I believe if the Rich Keefe Stats and Info Department is to be trusted,
okay,
the Red Sox this year have had 26 three-game series.
Okay.
And they've been swept three times.
Ooh.
So
once was Detroit.
Yeah.
That's when they were good, though. They haven't been good.
Yeah.
By the way, I noticed this. Seattle never loses. Seattle's like, them and Cleveland just never lose. I think they've won 16 out of 17, 17 out of 18, something like that.
Yeah.
But Detroit's the other way. Detroit never wins. And so
but like, that's the
when
other
the
thing
Red Sox
like,
played them earlier and got swept, they were hot. They're not hot now.
But also, the number one seed in the whole thing is up for grabs. So the Yankees and Blue Jays, one of those teams could be the number one overall seed in the American League. The other will be the top wild card team, but that's obviously a big difference. Do you want to skip the wild card round or not?
A huge difference.
And then also where the Red Sox go is very much up in the air. So they're not going to host it. So they could either go to the top wild card team, which again is either the Yankees or the Blue Jays, or they make the playoffs, but they make it as the third team. And now they're on the road against Cleveland, Detroit, or Seattle. Like they, every possibility is still there with it going into the final
weekend. I don't
want
Cleveland or Seattle. I'd be potentially fine with Detroit. Let's see how it goes this weekend. I think I'd be fine with that. Although that's the closest way to neutralize Crochet.
Actually,
in
you know
the
what?
Postseason.
I take it back. Seattle's already at 90 wins.
So you can't get to Seattle. I don't want Cleveland. I think I'd be fine with Detroit, but I prefer the two AL East teams, and I want to play the Yankees.
I definitely want to play the Yankees. Yankees, Blue Jays for sure.
And again, that's not
what you want. You want to be the second wild card team at
that
this point.
That is a selfish talk radio buzz stamp. Like,
also, I think it's more winnable than Cleveland for sure, because I don't know how they're doing it, whether it's witchcraft or whatever, but they're on fire.
Yep.
And then Detroit, I don't know, they're sliding way down, but now you have the advantage you have in a three-game series is Crochet. But if it's Crochet, Skubal, like if they don't have to throw Skubal in the last game, and they might not, and now that's like a real pick 'em game one, and then if you lose the Crochet game, you're like, wait a minute, this got out of hand quick.
Yeah, I don't like it.
So, no, I definitely want to stay in the division.
Yankees, Blue Jays, Detroit, Cleveland.
Yep.
That would be my order
yep.
For who they can face. Again, you can discuss 617-779-7937. One text about the mascot tiers. You can go check those out at Jones
tiers.
And Keith. I'm sorry, top mascot,
five.
Top five, rather.
Oh, that'd be a long tier. mascot.
We should have tiered them, though. There were so many.
Frisky? A lot of frisky ones.
So many frisky
just
ones.
Just the cat mascots are all frisky?
Damn it. And Lucky. All right, next week.
Oh, yeah, Lucky, too. Good point, Nick. Very frisky.
The cats and Lucky. at Jones WEI at Keefe 21, between Jones's cardboard-tasting cereals,
yep,
the blatant disrespect for Honeycrisp and Golden Grahams,
yep,
and the lack of gritty in the top five mascots, I will now be tuning into NPR. During any future J&K rankings. Okay, well, we can't win everybody.
About mine?
We can only do what we can do.
I had good taste in cereal. I had a really good top five mascots list.
Yeah, but you also didn't have gritty. That was
his
main complaint. And you didn't like Honeycrisp or Golden Grahams. No. I guess you're let off the hook for the cardboard tasting cereals.
Thank you.
But other than that, I think
I had gritty as an honorable mention. And I think Philadelphia, you hate to say it, but they have the best mascots.
Oh, boy. Yeah. Duck and cover.
Sorry.
Duck and Sorry. Cover.
Fanatic and gritty, whatever any other city has.
Better than anything we got going on here. That's true. Although if you count New York, you got Mr. and Mrs. Met.
Yeah, you got them both.
Package deal.
Yeah, that's about it. And
that's Fireman
Ed. he didn't make your list.
No, he didn't. He wasn't on my list. Did they have a Trevor Story problem, Keith?
Oh well,
you want the numbers real quick before
I was
you answer?
Say
it?
A month ago, you would have been like, "All right, the left side of the infield is great," and you're like, "You know, ground balls to the left side, no problem." And then the last few weeks, I don't know when the date started, but
Trevor Story.
I don't feel great about him over
21 games this month. Okay. 7 errors.
Yeesh.
Trevor Story has made
Rafael
errors.
Rafael Devers is like, "Oh, really?"
Trevor Story has made 6 errors in his last 7 games.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's he two is in
also,
the one game.
He is also tied with Anthony Volpe, who we were mocking the other weekend.
The Yankees benched him.
Yeah, he stinks.
For the most errors in the American League with 19. Do they have a Trevor Story problem? Remember, this is a guy who had shoulder surgery. He's asked about this after the game. I'd kind of forgotten about it. And so is there like something mechanically wrong?
Or is it like just wear and tear on the season?
Does he have the yips? Is it in his head?
I don't know.
Is he Chuck Knobloch all of a sudden? Like, do they have a Trevor Story problem?
It feels like it. It feels like right now they do. You definitely don't have a ton of confidence when he gets the ball over there. You kind of hold your breath a little bit. Because then he also... Two nights ago, late in the game, had an awesome play in the hole.
He
went back and jump throw, and he beat the guy by like 3 steps. You're like, wow. So I don't know if he has the yips, because I don't know, like, Chuck Knobloch, maybe the most famous player with the yips at second base.
Well, Arcan famously asked Mac Jones if he had the yips. That was a good one.
Baseball-wise,
yes.
It was Ricky and Keel on the mound, Chuck Knobloch at second.
Great one.
They weren't really capable of the great play, I don't remember. I think it was more like they'd kind of like aim it. like Knobloch would like run it over.
Did Lester kind of get the yips at one point?
Throwing to first
base. He couldn't throw to first, right?
And Kiel couldn't throw home.
Yeah.
So that was a different kind of thing.
For a pitcher, that's an issue.
Yeah, no, Lester did have issues throwing to first base. Did Buchholz too? Somebody else did. And they'd have to like underhand it or something.
It's contagious.
It might be.
It's going around.
Maybe
yeah.
the yips are contagious. Yeah. But yeah, I don't know what that is, but it's horrible timing for Trevor Story.
What is that?
The yips where, I don't know, it's a golf thing where you can't, you know, or a baseball thing. You can't make an easy throw.
Maybe the best all-time question. Right to his, maybe, was that on the phone? It sounded like
yips?
It was on the phone, actually.
Not a bad follow-up. What are they? Like, he knows what they are.
Yeah, yeah.
He's like, what are they? You, you tell
what
me what they are.
What are those?
I don't know if that's like a
that's
legit
on the
question
phone.
In sports,
man,
but.
I don't know if that's a legit question in sports. That's on the phone.
I don't know if that's a legit question in sports.
My recollection was that was right to his face. I guess I misremembered that.
No,
that was clearly
not.
On the phone. But yeah, I don't know what is that.
The awkwardness would take place no matter where it was. He could be calling from the moon. It would still be awkward. But yeah, I don't know if Story's there yet.
If we could get Trevor Story on the phone, we could have Arcan ask him about
it. But it was like the first month of the season. Remember Bregman had a bunch of errors?
Yes.
And I don't think it was like it wasn't the yips necessarily,
no.
But it was something was wrong.
It
and
was,
he figured it out.
And it was mostly on throws. That's,
yeah.
that's a good one.
Yeah.
But all of a sudden, it's like, oh, wow, him and Anthony Volpe in the same sentence. This is Story after the game last night talking about the errors piling up for him.
Yeah, I think just not finishing the play. I think that's it. Late in the season, you know, I think, you know, your body can get tired, but that's no excuse. It's really just not finishing the play. So it's on me. I got to be obviously very diligent about finishing the throw, and I haven't done that. That's where it's come from.
Okay, he's like, oh, it's a long season.
Yeah.
I don't want to blame that, though, but it's a long season.
It's
most a long seasons season. You never get this far in the season.
It's what everybody usually goes through, so I know this is kind of new territory for you, but yeah, you got to complete the throw. But yeah, that's not good because it does feel like that is sort of something that could creep up in the playoffs, obviously, where every single run, every single pitch matters so much more. You know, it reminds you of, remember when Detroit years ago was in the World Series and all their pitchers just kept throwing the ball around? They had like 20 errors or something insane.
So, look, I got Bears watching. He's piled up a bunch of errors specifically this month and specifically in the last week. So what's going on there? You can discuss at 617-779-7937. Meanwhile, if you wanted to watch Trevor Story maybe make a throw to first or maybe make another error, you're going to have trouble doing that tonight.
Ugh.
You can listen to it here on WEEI. We have all the games. We have every game.
Oh, yeah. All the way through the playoffs.
But,
long playoff run.
But tonight, if you want to watch the Red Sox locally, you cannot do that. You have to watch them on Apple TV if you have Apple TV.
I was going to say, if you're like most of us and you cancel in between seasons of Severance, you need to just listen to the game on the Odyssey app or WEEI.
So if you want to watch the Red Sox clinch tonight, you might not even be able to watch it.
Crazy.
And Terp brought up a great question. Can you even go to the bar and watch it?
I don't think all bars have like Apple TV. Although bars must have figured out how to put Thursday Night Football on Prime.
I
don't know if all of them do, honestly.
I'm sure it depends on the establishment.
Yeah.
And I'm sure some exist.
But if they just have cable boxes, then the answer is no.
I'd imagine the vast majority of restaurants, bars that you would want to go to if you wanted to catch the Red Sox games, hey, I don't have Apple TV. I'm going to go somewhere and watch it. I would imagine, it's just a guess, most of them don't have it.
So go to the bar, tell them to turn on WEI to crank it. Be like, hey, you download the Odyssey app.
I'm sorry?
The station.
Got it.
I mean, whatever you want to do.
The corn concert.
It is Friday night.
I do. I picture a lot of that going on during our show.
Probably.
Yeah.
Probably. But yeah, that is funny because we saw it on the schedule. And again, not knowing how important the Tigers series was going to be, I knew that this was an Apple game. And you're like, that's annoying, but maybe you won't really. No, they could clinch. They could literally clinch tonight. And what percentage of people that would normally be watching it will then be watching it?
Yeah.
It's cut way down.
Classic MLB. And perfect. It's like, are people really in on this Red Sox team? You might not even be able to see them clinch tonight. So if they were going to win anybody over, you may not be able to do that.
This should be an opportunity where it's both.
Yeah.
Like, you know how like TNT and NBC Sports Boston sometimes have games together, don't they? Like you, or like ESPN, like sometimes.
Yep.
Sometimes it's only on one, but other times like they let both do it. Like,
or even the Amazon Prime game in the NFL. You brought up this before.
Yeah.
The Amazon Prime game is shown locally as well, so you can if it's your local team.
And I think it's on Twitch. I think you can watch it in three places.
Oh, how about that?
They didn't get banned.
They're on Twitch still. You got to walk that tightrope.
It is a tightrope.
Yeah.
So anyway, don't miss the game tonight on WEEI. If you're looking for a place to listen to it, if you're looking for a place to watch it, you're probably SOL. Unless you have Apple TV, which is great. Again, classic MLB and good for this Red Sox team.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
What's in today's Friday four-pack?
Jones and Keefe, Friday four-pack. It's brought to you by Jackson Lumber and Millwork. You can visit Jackson Lumber and Millwork for all your residential, remodeling, or commercial building materials and supplies. At Jackson Lumber and Millwork, providing solutions and delivering results since 1946. Terps going to join us in studio coming up about 15 minutes from now, right before high noon.
Good.
For some pure hoops on Bill Chisholm.
Yeah, pure press conference.
Pure press conference with Terp. We got the Week in Review, 12:45. You got him over there?
Not yet. They're still on ice. I was going to leave and go get some cornbread during the break.
Yeah.
And the keys.
Oh, you're ready to both.
But I got sidetracked.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So we'll do Keefe's keys at 1 o'clock. We'll also talk to Milt the Stilt Williams in the 1 o'clock hour, which we always look forward to here on a Patriots Friday. But it's time now for the Friday four-pack. What's first up today, Billy?
What player off the Panthers would you most want on the Patriots?
Okay.
So some weeks this is a very easy exercise, and there's either an obvious answer or you're picking between two.
Uh-huh.
That is not this week.
you don't have an obvious one this week?
No. So my pick, do you want me to go first?
Yeah, go for it.
I'll say J.C. Horn.
Okay.
I think he's a good cornerback, first-round pick from a couple of years ago, top 10 pick from a couple of years ago.
You know, J.C. Horny.
J.C. Horny.
Oh, I'm sorry.
My
what
bad.
Was that again?
My bad.
That was
J.C. Horny.
J.C. Horny.
I'll take J.C. Horny.
Is what Drake May called him earlier
I think
this
he's
week.
Probably
oh, nice.
The best player on the Panthers.
Okay, so Derek Brown has been getting a lot of love this week.
Yeah. Don't give away all the keys.
Vrabel highlighted him. All the beat writers are going off about Derek Brown, which is a big advantage for Carolina. It is. I was just looking this up. The Patriots just don't – I don't think they need somebody at that position, but he's probably better than anybody they have. No offense to Milt the Still.
Right, but at some point you just need to take the best player off the roster. Like, there's not a – so
I was just looking up Chuba Hubbard. How many times has he fumbled it? Like, does he at least hold on to the football?
I don't know. I've never really – he's fine. He is like an average NFL running back.
Yeah, but does he not – oh, no, he's fumbled quite a bit, actually.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, four fumbles last year.
Okay. So I personally – you and I, during the draft process and build-up, I didn't love Tet McMillan. He is off to a good start.
He is.
But
they need a receiver, but I'm also not in on him.
I'm not taking him.
I was in on him in fantasy just because I felt like there's nobody else to throw to there.
Is
but
nobody else.
I still don't really like his game.
So Brown or Horn. I'll take Horn, but it's nothing crazy. That's another reason why you can't beat this team.
You didn't say Bryce Young. You don't want Bryce Young?
I don't want Bryce Young. Andy Dalton? 2 years ago when it was Brissett or Dalton, I would have taken Dalton.
Good backup quarterback. Yeah. But no, this is an exercise in why you got to beat this team. I felt similar
it's
when we looked at the
good.
Dolphins record. I'll agree with you, though. We'll use the Drake May pronunciation.
Horny.
But I agree with you. Let's go with
J.C. Horny.
Yeah, J.C. Horny. Let's go with that, yeah.
What all-time Panthers jersey would you want most?
I mentioned earlier this week, I do have a Panthers jersey. Well, I did. I don't know where it is.
Sick yeah, brag, bro.
No doubt. Tim Biakabatuka.
I can't believe you own a Tim Biakabatuka. One of my good buddies growing up had a Tim Biakabatuka jersey. I imagine he was the only one.
Running back out of Michigan, burned hot.
Real hot.
Never really made it or caught on. But Tim Biakabatuka was a good one. My other one might be, maybe it's kind of obvious, but Steve Smith.
Steve Smith's a great
one. Steve Smith is the man. Although he doesn't like Wiggy. So I don't like that. I'd be Team Wiggy there.
What about a Wiggy Panthers
Steve
jersey?
Steve Smith like anybody?
Steve Smith may not like anybody.
It's part of his charm.
Yeah.
It's part of his charm.
Yeah.
What about a Wiggy Panther?
Wiggy's
jersey?
A good one.
Yep.
A Jermaine Wiggins with a Super Bowl patch on it.
Yeah, nice. You get like a John Casey one to troll him for what went down at the end of that Super Bowl.
Well, no, I don't want
to
do that.
I know we're going to get to coming up. No, Steve
what about
Smith.
Chris Wanky.
Steve Smith is a great one.
Yeah.
Mush Muhammad.
Mush Muhammad was good.
Mush Muhammad, real nice.
I mean, Cam Newton. Cam was really good there.
I loved Cam.
Julius Peppers.
Oh, Luke Kuechly.
Peppers and Kuechly are two great ones.
Ooh, Kuechly, good.
Yeah, those are great ones.
A lot of options in Carolina.
Yeah. Carolina's got some good ones. Nice.
What about Jake the Snake DeLome? You rock a Jake the Snake DeLome jersey. People know you mean business.
That's true. They're like, this guy knows ball.
Yeah. But no, Steve Smith is a great
Christian
answer.
Christian McCaffrey for maybe like the more newer vintage.
Yeah.
But no, I'd go back older than that.
Okay. Yeah. What's next, Bill?
Can the Panthers make the playoffs?
Why don't you answer this first?
I picked them before the year.
All right, three games in, you changing your mind?
I've changed my mind. Okay. Yeah, I think I was wrong about that. They're about to be 1-3.
Yeah.
They did win last week. Kind of a fluky game, a couple of defensive touchdowns.
Yep.
So, yeah, no, I don't feel great about that prediction anymore, and I will back down from it.
They were a 5-win team last year, which is more wins than the Patriots had, but I feel like they're probably in the same boat. Plus, that division is... like the Bucs are good, the Falcons are kind of eh, and the Saints are horrible. So like they might get back to around 4 or 5 wins, but no, I don't think they're making the playoffs.
A lot of jerseys getting texted.
Oh, Dan Morgan.
Dan Morgan is he their GM now? I think he might be.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Jonathan Stewart and D'Angelo Williams. That was a good back.
Oh, that was a good two-headed monster.
Greg Olsen?
You're not getting a Ray Carruth jersey.
No,
don't be that
one,
guy.
That's been texted in more than it should have been. Ricky Prohl, that's a pretty good one.
Ricky Prohl, Steven Davis, Kevin Green. They've had some dudes.
I like this too.
Rod, he hate me smart.
Oh, good great point. One. Good wow, point. That's a great one.
He hate me.
I played as the Panthers a lot in NFL Blitz to hear the announcers say
Beyonce. Sick brag, bro.
That's what the text line said. That's a good one. Okay.
Yeah.
So no, we have the Panthers not as a playoff.
Bjarke Tuukka never ran for 1,000 yards in a season.
What'd he run for?
His high in a season was 718.
Okay.
2,500 total yards in 6 years.
All right.
You want a little bit more out of the eighth pick in the draft?
Oh, wow, is he that high of a pick?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't remember that.
Well, he was nasty at Michigan. He was, he had 1,700 yards his last year at Michigan.
Nice.
Rushing. Yeah.
Nice. Probably a good squad, I'd imagine.
Yeah, that was 95 Michigan.
Is he overlap? No, Brady wasn't there. I know Brady was drafted 99. Or 2000, rather, but yeah. he didn't overlap with Bjarke Batuta, or did he?
No, I don't think so. Look at the quarterbacks that you were, Brian Greasy. Yeah, no, I don't think he had him. His teammates with Brian Greasy.
Brady redshirted? I can't remember. But anyways, whatever.
Oh, maybe, yeah.
Okay, what's our last question?
Is the Patriots-Panther Super Bowl the least talked about of the Pats Super Bowls?
Of the Pats Super Bowls?
I think it is. So the first one, obviously, talked about all the time.
Mm-hmm.
The most recent ones are all talked about more.
The Rams one we kind of talk about, but never positively. Meaning the most recent Rams
one. Or are
these
just any of the Super Bowls?
Yeah, good question. The Eagles one I don't think gets talked about a ton either. We kind of like pretend that didn't happen.
The second Giants one doesn't get talked about, really.
Yeah, I guess you're right. We talk about an undefeated season.
We talk about stuff that happened in that Eagles game, like, you know, Malcolm Butler getting benched.
Yeah.
But I don't know how much we talk about the game, per se.
No, I'm saying, like, the whole thing around it.
Yeah.
I would say... You have the Malcolm Butler positive Super Bowl, the Malcolm Butler negative Super Bowl.
Yep.
You have the greatest comeback ever.
Mm-hmm.
The kind of boring last one, but it was also the last one, so it gets brought up more. Like, they did win in 18.
It gets referenced all the time, the Belichick crowd.
100%.
Like, the few Bill over Brady people, 100%. They'll reference the crap out of that game, and they all forget what Brady did in the AFC title game to get them there.
So I think the nominees would be Panthers, first Eagles, and to Nick's point, maybe the second Giants loss, because it wasn't the undefeated season, but it was still just like demoralizing.
Gronk's
that they
high
lost.
Ankle sprain, the Mario Manningham catch.
That was
Was that the Gronk decoy game?
It was.
Yeah. That was an awesome Super Bowl, though. Pats and Panthers.
It was definitely. It was Jackson. So maybe that actually says the answer is no then.
Because
if you're taking the whole thing.
You're talking about that.
Yeah.
Good point.
And that team also, I think we all admit the 04 team was a little bit better, or was better.
Yeah.
The 01 team was just this amazing story. So it also kind of gets lost in the shuffle for that time period. I mean, and then when you look at 20 years.
When they did the dynasty, they just jammed those two seasons together. They
won this year and the next.
Yeah.
And then Teddy Bruschi said they were a dynasty. And you're like, okay, I guess so.
I feel like a lot happened in there.
Like, maybe go back to that game.
Yeah, then we just kind of buzzed
Which
right
also
past.
Is true is, like, you know, looking back on it, like, yeah, they won those three Super Bowls in 4 years. Like, they won each game by a field goal. Like, those games were all super close.
They were. So that is, certainly an under-discussed, underappreciated Super Bowl. Although, you're right, Janet Jackson gets talked about quite a bit.
Oh, yeah. Still talk about it.
I think about it every once in a while.
All the time. Twice a week.
So that is the Friday 4-Pack brought to you by Jackson Lumber and Millwork. Ooh, I wanted to hear from this individual yesterday, Justin in D.C., waiting patiently. Hello, Justin.
Oh.
Gentlemen, the Red Sox haven't clinched, so can we put a pin in that until Monday?
Right, look, and then for
we
sure. Can get look, back sure. To that prediction? If you, I just want to stick with when they clinch, then we'll decide the Rafael Devers trade. But sure, you're right. They haven't done it yet. Fair.
You guys will be omnipotent and all-knowing, and I'll get on the phone and call you guys. But right. I just want to ask and then make a point. Why are we comparing Drake May to Josh Allen's development? Is it that they both turned the ball over a ton early on and Josh Allen took a while to fix that, or is it some other reason?
I think it's sort of the size and how they play. And
size,
how
athleticism.
Sort of, and they weren't finished products coming into the league.
Yeah, I think it's all those things. And I don't think we just do it. Again, I reference this story a lot, but Reese in a Sunday Notes had a GM bring up Josh Allen as a comparison to Drake May. So I don't just think it's external. Yeah. That's within the league as well. But what's your point?
No, it's everybody's doing it, so I just heard it today. My point is Josh Allen wasn't on the verge of being out of the league after year two, but that at his 17th start, which is game six of year two, he had already fixed his turnover issue because the rest of that season, he had 21 touchdowns, 4 interceptions with no wide receivers on the Bills, and he brought them to the playoffs. So if we want to be consistent with this comparison, then we need to hold Drake May to a timeline of addressing the turnovers in a linear fashion where he doesn't regress massively throughout the season by his fifth or sixth start this season. Otherwise, he will be far behind Josh Allen's development line because he was pretty damn near linear in year two.
Yeah, look, yeah, but he also completed under 59% of his passes, which is a wild number in the modern NFL.
Look, I'm not going to hold him to the exact game. Like, if he doesn't do it by game six and he hasn't cleaned up his turnovers, he can't be Josh Allen. No. But again, that's already a lofty comparison. We're not the only people who make it. The point stands that somewhere this season, he's got to figure it out. Like, I'll stand with that. If he figures it out in December, but he figures it out, that's fine. That's all well and good. He has to figure it out this season. Even Josh, I didn't realize that. I'll have to go double check the work there. But by the sixth game of his second year, he had mostly cleaned up the turnover issue.
Well, he had eight in the first month.
Well, fine.
But that's also
then he also had six games of under 200
He turned it
passing.
Over a crap ton in the playoff game. I know that.
That's also not true, though. Like, looking this up, after that mark in the sand that he had like nine more fumbles. Maybe he was looking at picks.
Just picks. Maybe he
but
was
he fumbled
at just
all
picks.
The time. Yeah. They weren't all fumbles.
He lost. He didn't lose 10. He lost four fumbles that year. He fumbled 14 times.
Okay. Fumbled 14 times.
Yeah.
But so, you're putting the ball on the floor.
Yeah,
like,
that's still
a lot.
If Drake May has 10 fumbles in the final 10 weeks of the year, we're going to be like, boy, he's still fumbling a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
Real quick, because he's been waiting. Richard in Salisbury. Hello.
Hey, guys. How are you doing today?
Excellent.
Good.
I just wanted to comment on the Apple TV thing for tonight. So last time they televised on Apple only, it actually is available on Major League Baseball, which is a subscription thing. But last time I watched it on my MLB, because I have a Fire Stick that has Crack TV on it. You know, you pay $150 for the year and you get every channel in the world.
Sure. Okay.
But so it's on MLB if you can get MLB, but... Last time I had a stream in WEI because it had no sound. It just had the picture. But, you know, it's a shame that, you know, it's an important game and we can't, you know, a lot of people mess on the subscribe and can't watch it. You know?
Well, I think we can all agree with that.
I agree.
Okay, good. We all actually agree by the
this should be the big This should be the big argument for the people that are paying for the NESN app, which I feel bad for you. I don't really know why you're doing it. But for the people that are doing that, you should kick and scream and be like, hey, I'm paying for this and I can't even get all the games.
I pay $30 a month. It barely works.
Because,
and then when I want to watch it, I can't even watch it.
I'm assuming their big selling point is watch all the Bruins and all the all the Red Sox. Like, well, not all of them. Didn't see the clinching game, you know?
So that guy's got a Fire Stick.
He cracked it.
Crack.
Yeah.
And then also MLB TV.
With no sound.
I think that gets blacked out in certain markets. I think that depends on where you live and if you're in or out of market. I think there are other aspects
VPN.
To that. Say it again.
Whoa, that's a lot of crap.
Anyway, that's what you're dealing with tonight. Or
be a crackhead.
You could just listen to the game on WEEI. That's probably the easiest way to
do it. I would have done the same if I had found a kilo of crack cocaine.
617-779-7937.
Smoke crack cocaine.
Let's do pure.
I'm on crack.
Pure press conference with Terp.
All right, Terp.
Joining us in studio next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
As many of you probably know, I'm from here, and I've loved the Celtics my entire life. My wife Kimberly and I have raised a family of diehard Celtics fans. The Chisholm family are so grateful to be part of this Celtics organization, the greatest sports franchise in the world and the greatest sports city in the world.
How's Bill Chisholm? Reading a prepared statement about how big of a Celtics fan he is.
Wild Bill Chisholm, they call him.
If you're being introduced to the media, introducing yourself to the media.
Yeah, I have many times.
You probably want some notes.
Maybe you don't, sick brag, bro.
You don't need to read everything word for word, but you'd think maybe your Celtics fandom maybe you could do off the top of your head, but no, he had to read along for that.
Yeah.
I'm just a giant. My whole family, we all love the Celtics, reading off his little hostage announcement there.
Yeah.
But live at that press conference yesterday was Justin Turpin, Pure Hoops with Turp, just before high noon, Pure press conference today. What'd you think of... What'd you think of Bill Chisholm yesterday?
I mean, he continues to say all the right things, and that's really all you can ask for at this point. I mean, now you can officially start judging this ownership
group. Well, you could spend his money. I mean, you could do that too. But
now you can start officially judging this ownership group for what it is. Now that it's official, it's gone through, he is the face now. He is, and he made it very clear that he's the decision maker. So now that this is all out of the way, you can start to judge this ownership group for what it is. Obviously, Brad Stevens has been very clear about it, and he was yesterday as well, that the moves made over this offseason were because of the second apron. And now what happens? Do they try to get into the luxury tax? How do they retool this team to where they want to be? Because the expectation is when Jason Tatum's back and fully healthy, this team is back and competing. So now you can start judging what he is in this ownership group for what it is.
Yeah, what type of owner do you think he's going to be? Because here we've had all different kinds. We've had some that you never see or hear from. We've had some that literally the kid runs the team. We've had, you know, Robert Kraft early on in his tenure, I think he spoke a little bit more. He's sort of elevated to a certain spot in the league now where he'll still do the occasional interview here and there, but you always see him in all the games. Where do you think Chisholm's going to come down in all that?
Yeah, I think you're going to see him courtside a lot. He's going to be very present. He's going to be very on hand, and he made that clear yesterday. He's like, the best seat in the house. I'm excited to watching from there, and I hope for the most part, and he made it kind of seem this way, that he was going to let Brad Stevens drive the basketball decisions, and obviously he's going to be the one that signs off on things. He's the owner. He's the governor. He's going to have to do that, but he's going to be present. He's going to be there, and you know, I think in terms of the day-to-day stuff, I mean, he'll be involved, but it sounds like Brad Stevens is going to be the one driving the ship.
I was surprised. I mean, number one, Wick was even there yesterday. That surprised me. And he's much more dynamic and engaging than Bill Chisholm. I think that was pretty striking, but whatever. That's a side topic and an aesthetic. I was surprised Wick was there. And then I was surprised at a couple of answers Wick gave us yesterday. Like, number one, he knew the sale was happening for 18 months. So he gave us, he knew 18 months ago, rather, which means he knew like February or March of the year they won the title. So now we can really put a timeline on that. All the nonsense he talked about, parades and everything, he knew way in advance. He wasn't blindsided by it like he's claimed in the past. So he confirmed that yesterday. The other thing I found interesting is when Bill Chisholm was getting kind of peppered right off the top about, well, there's a board, and do you actually have final say? He's like, well, it's me and Wick, and then final say comes down to me. And I'm like, is that for appearances? Is Wick still going to have a big say in what's going on?
I mean, he said he was going to be here forever, and he's going to be still involved. And I'm fascinated by this whole dynamic that the old owner is staying on board and is going to have a pretty prominent role in the organization as an alternate governor. I mean, I just can't recall another situation that's been like that. And the whole dynamic's just fascinating to me. I asked Bill Chisholm about it, yesterday, about just the... just the business side of it, and having a guy like Wick Rospeck, who's been doing it for two decades, and having him by your side, helping you walk through this, start getting your feet wet, and how to kind of handle it. And he said that Wick Grospecht's kept him out of trouble. So I think that dynamic is fascinating because I think right now it's important. But over time, does it wear old that the old owner's right there still very much involved?
I would think. I don't know what you think. I'd imagine that was mostly for appearances yesterday and, like, stroking Wick's ego.
Well, because it was like in Dallas. Like, I think the most surprised sell in the NBA, because there's been a bunch of them, is Mark Cuban. You're like, this is like part of his identity. And then he's like, well, I'm still going to be a part of it. And you're like, is he though? And you're like, all right, maybe he is. And then like Luka gets traded and he's like, I would never do that. And you're like, okay. So you don't really have much of a say. With that, I wonder, you know, Brad Stevens' role in all this. You mentioned what Chisholm sort of said about him, but Brad's now been here not that long, but he's already had to hire a couple of coaches. He's not going to be working with like a different ownership group. How do you think his relationship is going to be with everybody in the front office now?
I mean, most of it is rolling over from the old regime. I mean, there's a couple of new faces, Bill Chisholm, Aditya Mitel. Like, those guys are new, but for the most part, it's the same crew that he's been working with. And they have a smaller front office, so, I mean, he's really used to working with these guys. So I think it's just going to be consistent Brad Stevens. And, you know, with this team, where they're at right now, I mean, that's the guy that you'd want running this team. I mean, trying to turn them around.
Well, Wick said it with on Greg's show. He's like, thank God for Brad Stevens.
Yeah.
Because they got to balance the books and they got to do all this stuff, but they feel like he's the guy to do it. There's got to be some frustration with him, though, where he's like,
Brad?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I built the roster that could win a title. When healthy, this team is the best team in the NBA, and now you're telling me I got to blow the whole thing up.
I totally agree. And they gave an answer yesterday, and they did it a couple of different times, which tells me it was a talking point going in. Brad brought it up, and Bill Chisholm brought it up to you guys yesterday and in a one-on-one with Forsberg. Well, hey, if we're in the second apron, acquiring Derek White in the first place, acquiring Drew Holiday, those aren't possible because you can't aggregate salary, blah, blah, blah. And then they just kind of brushed aside that not only are they below the second apron, which I'll give them, but now they're like borderline getting out of the luxury tax. Like, they didn't really do a satisfactory job answering the second part, which just sounds like saving Bill Chisholm's money. So, yeah, I didn't really buy it. I never really bought the second apron stuff because you could just have talented players. You didn't necessarily need a Derek White, Drew Holiday deal when those guys are already on the roster.
Yeah, it's like $12 million over the salary luxury tax right now. So we'll see what they do with that, and they'll address that towards the deadline. I also thought it was interesting when they were discussing just the moves over the offseason that Wick Grospecht butted in and was like, these were going to happen no matter what, regardless of the sale, these were going to happen. And he's been pretty persistent with that. He said that on Greg's show, I think it was in March, right around the March Madness tournaments he was on. And he said, you can't live in the second apron right now. That's just the nature of the NBA. And obviously Jason Tatum's injury complicated things. And, you know, the roster came up short last year. So you're going to run it back with a $500 million roster for a team that couldn't beat the Knicks in the second round. It's just kind of hard to justify, especially when your best player is not on the floor. So the second apron and
But he might be on the floor.
Well, that, like, for most of this year, he might be on the floor. And that was another interesting update from Brad Stevens yesterday, where he's on pace to make a full recovery, which it seems. And Jason Tatum did his media blitz earlier this week and made it pretty clear that he wants to play. That was the first time I was like, oh, man, like,
yeah,
this might actually happen. I think the direction of the team really matters with that.
Yeah.
I mean, depending on where they're sitting, when he's trying to come back. But if you look at it, like, the 10 seed last year, I know that's a very low seed, and they're in the play-in. Like, they were 10 games under 500.
Just Jaylen Brown and Derek White.
Right.
That.
Like, that team, they're not going to be that bad under 500. I kind of put them at, like, 44 wins, somewhere around there, 45. Like,
because the over-under is low.
Yeah, lowest since 2014.
Terpa saying take the over.
I would take the over.
I like
it's 40.5.
Yeah.
So, like, will they be 500 or better?
And
like,
what do they keep saying about the Eastern Conference? It's wide
open.
It's
bad. Yeah, yeah. It's wide open is right.
I'll grab an alternate line. I'll juice that thing
up
a little bit.
Juice it up a little bit?
Maybe.
If you look at their first couple weeks of the season, too, like, that number could dip a little bit. It's tough. It's a really hard opening schedule for them. I mean, Philly beat them on Christmas last year. This is as healthy as they're going to be. Like, we'll see how long the Tyrese Maxey, Paul George, and Joel Embiid trio can stay healthy. Probably not that very
3 days.
Long.
Actually, they won't even start the season healthy. There's no way.
Didn't that happen last year? Paul George got hurt.
It was like
the
right away. And we were talking about that.
I mean, that's as healthy as they're going to be, so that's tough. Then you go to New York, you get Detroit. That's the first three. You get Houston on a back to back. I think they're in Philly the night before. They get Philly twice. So that schedule to begin is pretty tough. But
so
after
maybe
that,
wait a week,
it's pretty balanced.
Then get in on the over.
Yeah, it's going to be, they're going to be tested right out of the gates.
Yeah, and it just feels low that, you know, I think Chisholm, when you buy the team, you're obviously hoping that Tatum's healthy. Then you're like, all right, he's not. So this way we can sort of like kick it down the road and save some money. But then it does complicate things even further when he comes back, and then you're looking around the roster, and you're like, all right, you got Tatum and Brown, two of the 15 best players in the league, and you're like, why is the rest of the roster like
and
this?
And the whole luxury tax thing is interesting to me because they'd have to be under it for two straight seasons. And the expectation would be, I mean, maybe you do it this year, but what's that really going to save you?
I was saying, with Tatum and Brown's contracts alone, it's going to be tough to
and
be
then
below.
And then White's going to kick in. Yeah. So it just, if you have to do it 2 years in a row, the expectation when Jason Tatum's back for a full season, I know he could be back this year.
Yeah,
he's left that door open. But more so of next year, when he's back for a full year, presumably, you're fully healthy going into the year, you have Derek White, Jason Tatum, and Jaylen Brown healthy, the expectation will be this team is spending again, and they're going all in. So, I mean, I can't imagine that the luxury tax is that much of a deal breaker.
That's the expectation, and I guess I'll believe it when I see it out of Bill Chisholm, because when he does it here with the Celtics, it'll be the first time. Instead, he's gone the other way.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.